Leviticus chapter 11. Our lesson tonight is Deuteronomy 14. I spoke to you earlier on that chapter, but as I considered Deuteronomy 14, it contained so much, and it all fitted in with our subject of obedience and disobedience. I had to make it broader than Deuteronomy 14. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 11, first of all. What you should do when you read one portion of the Word of God, you should try to find out if there is another portion that is similar, another portion that explains it. And what you will find is that Leviticus 11 is ever so similar to Deuteronomy chapter 14. For instance, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven with it, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that you may eat. So Leviticus 11 is talking about clean and unclean animals and fish and birds and creeping things that they may be permitted to eat and they may not be permitted to eat. And Deuteronomy 14 is similar, as we'll see. But having read all of these things that I just told you about, look at verse 46. This is the law of the beast and of the birds and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. Are you Christians who know how to make a distinction between the clean and unclean? You are. Now, let's look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a different kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. Neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. Again, you have cattle, you have seed, and you have material. Let's keep these things in mind. Now, Deuteronomy. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For whosoever doeth these things is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement at a railing around it, a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house, if any man fall from thence. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole fruit be forfeited, the seed which thou hast sown, and the increase of the vineyard. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a mingled stuff, wool and linen together. Now, let's read our chapter 14. 14. Verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourself, nor make any baldness between your eyes with the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, and the tiger. And to show you how difficult this word is, I looked in the Britannica dictionary, and I looked also in Merriam's dictionary, and it isn't there. And so I don't know whether it's Pigarg or Pygarg, but what you'll find out is this, that it is an animal similar to a deer. Keep that in mind. Verse 6. And every beast that parteth the hoof and hath the hoof cloven in two and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that have the hoof cloven, the camel and the hare and the coney, because they chew the cud, but part not the hoof. They are unclean unto you. And the swine, because he parted the hoof, but cheweth not the cud, he is unclean unto you. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatsoever hath fin and scales, may ye eat. And whatsoever hath not fins and scales, ye shall not eat. It is unclean unto you. Of all clean birds you may eat. But these are they of which you shall not eat. The eagle, the gear eagle, the osprey, the glee, the falcon, the kite after its kind, and every raven after its kind, and so forth. Verse 19. And the winged creeping things are unclean unto you. They shall not be eaten. Of all clean birds you may eat. You shall not eat anything that dieth of itself. Now verse 22. Thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed, that which cometh forth from the field, year by year. Verse 28. At the end of every 3 years thou shalt bring forth all thine tithe, the tithe of thine increase in the same year, and lay it up within thy gate. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the portions that we've read. Let us know that because of the difficulty of some, we return from them. But this is wrong, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So let us not be those that who avoid the old and stay in the new, because your Son speaks about bringing things out, new and old. And so let us know both. Let us understand the sense of these passages that we've read tonight. Guide us by thy Spirit, Father, and prepare the heart of those who are listening. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Servants, obey your masters in all things. Obedience. And because of that, when I read about the diet of the Israelites, I understood that God told them what they could eat and what they could not eat. And I said, here is a God that directs various parts of the lives of the children of Israel. And I thought, well, what other parts of the children of Israel does God direct? And let me tell you, Jacob and James and Vincent are out. Because you can't grow a mustache or a goatee. You have to have a whole beard if you're in the Old Testament. And you can't mar the corners of your hair or your beard. And so you're out. And I'm out because I don't have a beard. You understand? What kind of God is this? You mean you tell me whether I can wear a beard or not? God says yes. Also, what about my body? God says, if a loved one dies, you can't cut yourself, and you can't make yourself bald. You're telling me that I can't do with my body what I want to? That's exactly what God is telling me. Well, what about my house? God says it has to be built to my specification. You're trying to get your permits here, but God, if he expected it, and you had a house, and it didn't have a balustrade, a banister around it, God would say, not expected. So he told you how to build a house. You couldn't build it the way you wanted to. He told you what you could wear and what you couldn't wear. You say, what? Yeah. You couldn't wear any material that was mixed with two kinds, material. And not only so, but you had to wear blue tassels hanging down from your garment, whether blue went with you or not. And God says, you are to love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And not only that, but he said, the field that you own, you can't sow the seed that you want to in that field. You have to sow what I tell you in that field. And when you plow, you can't plow with any animals that you want to. You have to plow with the animals I tell you to. So you say, well, there's nothing in the life of the Israelite that God doesn't control. Well, what in your life should God not control? What has he told you? You can do anything you want to with your body. No, you can't do that. Because it says you are a holy God. And for that reason, God says this body is sacred and it's holy, and we have to present our bodies living sacrifices. Now you can be thankful that today you don't have to have your hair in a certain way or your beard in a certain way except for this, and I will interject things so that I can get it all in your mind. There's some things in the Old Testament that have been terminated. There's some things in the Old Testament that have been carried over. And you will find in the book of Ezekiel, if you have abundance of time and you had the patience, I would turn you to these things, but instead I shall tell you and hope that you shall go and check up on me to see if I'm telling you the truth. God says that a man's hair could not be long. He says you're not to shave it and you're not to let it grow long. You're just to get a haircut. But then, if you go into the New Testament, you find out in 1 Corinthians 11 that if a woman had long hair, it's a glory to her. But if a man had long hair, it's a shame to him. You say, well, he still tells us about something. Why, of course. And today, it's not the stuff, but it's the modesty of what we put on. Concerning the woman, and from some of the outrageous costumes of the men today, we would include them as well. But you see how some things are terminated in the Old Testament, and some are carried over into the New Testament. So here is what I'm trying to tell you. That God told Israel that they were to eat what he wanted them to eat, live in a house the way he wanted them to have it built, sow in their field what he wanted sown, give money a certain amount and at times of the year that he wanted them to. But in one sense, that's good, because you don't have to think anymore. Now, we as Christians say, how much should we give to the Lord? Well, just keep that in mind. God told them in the Old Testament, at least 10 of the blessings of us under grace, greater than those under law, who say yes, for certain at least a tenth is to be given. And I think I'll tell you this while I'm at it. You have two priests, high priests that are representatives. You have the Aaronic order, and under the Aaronic order, they gave 10%. But our high priest is Melchizedek. And it says in Genesis 14 that Abraham gave Melchizedek 10%. And so you can't get out of it, you see, any way that you look at it. But what I'm saying is that God gives suggestions and he tells them exactly what they can do and what they cannot do. And concerning those that are thinking about marriage, God said there are certain people you can't marry. He said you can't marry these Amalekites. And he mentioned foreign nations. He said, you are not to marry those foreign nations. And then, even when you have the 12 tribes that they could choose from, the daughters of Zelophehad, I'll give anybody $5 if they can tell me how many daughters he had and what their names were. Mala, Hagla, Noah, Tirzah, and Milcah. Now, this is most important because they went and said to Moses, we want an inheritance. Our father didn't have any sons, and we want that inheritance. And so it was decided that they would get that inheritance. But when they did, what happened was this. They could have chosen from 12 tribes to find a husband. But when they said, we want an inheritance, then God said, 11 of those tribes you can't marry. You have to choose someone from the one tribe that you come from. And so do you see how dangerous it is to demand those things if you're a woman or if you're a man. And not only that, concerning the property, if they had property, they could not sell it permanently. It returned to them. So I'm telling you all of these things to show you that God had complete control over every facet of the life of his children in the Old Testament, and it's the same for us in the New Testament. But now, here, what I'm going to tell you is invaluable, because I confess for a while, I looked at Deuteronomy 14, and I said, how is this that we today eat most any kind of meat that we want to, but in the Old Testament, God said there are only certain kinds of animals you can eat, and fish. And so, what does this mean? And this is what I found out. That the Old Testament has, first of all, a literal interpretation, and then God tells us it has a typical interpretation. Both are true. There are some people, when they're talking about Noah's Ark, you wouldn't think it was an ark that the animals came in and that took them through the flood. They just say it's Christ. And when you're talking about the tabernacle, they never tell you about the literal tabernacle. They tell you how it symbolizes Christ. But first of all, it was literally to be built the way that God told them so. Every material, every metal, was precisely what God told them it should be, first of all. And after that, it had a spiritual existence. And in like manner, all of these things that I've read to you tonight, first of all, have a literal interpretation, and that literal interpretation continued until Christ came. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so if you were an Israelite, it was not that you would look at these things and say, why, they are just typical. They mean nothing to me. They were absolutely literal. The tabernacle, the materials of which it was built, and also the animals, the fish, the foods, everything that God said, it was literal. The clothes, everything was literal. And so I said, well, this is a strange thing. And then, to show you that what I'm going to tell you is scriptural and cannot be denied, God himself tells us in two places. And so let's read those because they're so important. 1 Corinthians 9, first of all. 1 Corinthians 9. I'll tell you about many, but if you can remember these two passages, you have the key and you won't need me anymore. Except to interpret it to perfection, you see. You'll get the general idea of it. But now 1 Corinthians 9. I told you that the Word of God interprets itself. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is speaking about they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians 9, 8. Do I speak these things after the manner of men, or saith not the law also the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Is it for the oxen that God careth? Or saith he it assuredly for our sake? Yea, for our sake it was written, because he that ploweth ought to plow in hope, and he that thresheth to thresh in hope of partaking. You say, Paul has said that it's not just this ox that was treading out the corn that was not to be muzzled, but a servant of God that was laboring among the people of God, he was not to be muzzled either. Now, that is the illumination. Do you understand? Now, I'm going to tell you the significance of everything that I've told you. I want you to understand that animals in Scripture are men, and seed in Scripture are men, and material in Scripture depicts certain characteristics of man. In Revelation, it says, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, who is going to mingle together filthy rag and righteous rag? You say, no, no, why? Because here are two distinct characteristics that are mingled together, and God says they are not to be mingled together. Now, I've given you the key, and it should be child's play for you to interpret it. I'm going to show you how animals are men. All we like sheep have gone astray. You say, well, man is looked upon as a sheep, yes. And when the Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord Jesus asking for her daughter to be healed, the Savior said, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. So what did he call us Gentiles? You say, dog. And have you read in Psalm 22 about the strong bulls of Bashan and the dogs that were around our Savior? You say, but there were no dogs and bulls around the Savior. Of course not. These animals are pictures of men. Now, you must see this. Turn to Acts 10. You must see it. But I've given you the gist of it. And with what I've given you, if you carry it through, you can understand. But in Acts chapter 10, Peter is on the housetop praying. And verse 10, and he became hungry and desired to eat. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance. And he beholdeth the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending, as it were, a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth, and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Now, look over at verse 27. Peter is talking to Cornelius' household, and he says in verse 28, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. And yet unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now let me ask you, what came down on that sheep from heaven? Men or animals? You say animals. And that sheep that was let down were the animals of various kinds that I read you about in Deuteronomy 14 and in Leviticus chapter 11. And these animals in the Old Testament are pictures of various kinds of men. You say, I see. And whereas our Savior said it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog, now that which was a dog and that which was a swine, the Savior said, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. What does it mean? It means that all of those animals were typical of clean and unclean beasts. But now, whatever animals they were, whatever men they pictured, God has cleansed them, and no man is to be called common or unclean. One other verse, 1 Timothy 4, the Spirit saith, verse 1, expressly, that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and so forth. And this is what they command in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. Now I have shown you all of these animals that for a period of time under the law were pronounced literally to be unclean and were not to be eaten. God has said that under grace, every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused. Now two things have happened. God has pronounced clean all of these animals literally and God has pronounced clean all mankind that were represented by these animals. Do you understand? Have you grasped that principle? If you have, you have no worry at all. So let's think for a moment now what God is telling us. He said this, here is an ox that's going round and round, grinding out the corn. And this stingy farmer says, well, that ox is liable to reach down and eat some of that corn. I'm not going to let him have that corn. I'll give him what I want to. And so he put a muzzle on him. And God said, you can't do that. You shan't muzzle the ox. And so God, first of all, was taking care of that animal literally. And he took care of animals also on the Sabbath day. He said, your maiden and your men servants are not to work, neither are your animals to work. But at the same time, God is speaking of animals, but he says, does God care for oxen? Think. If he cares for an animal, how much more does he care for us who are created in the image and likeness of God? And so I told you one thing, and I will tell you another now. Animals are pictures of men, and seed are pictures of men, and materials are pictures of characteristics of men. I'm going to show you the significance of the seed now. And our Savior, in speaking of the parable of the wheat and the tares, they came and asked him, interpret to us the parable of the tares. And in brief, he said this. He said, the wheat are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. Now, isn't that difficult? Seed depicts whom? Men. The wheat depicts the children of God, and the tares, the children of the evil one. You say, I see. Then animals depict men, different kind of men, clean and unclean men. And seed depict men, children of God and children of the devil. So now I hope you grasp it. It's so simple once you see it. Because, whereas the ox, not being muzzled when it treads out the corn, that is the gospel preacher laboring among the people of God. Now, think of the other thing. Here is an animal that is an ox. Is that clean or unclean? An ox. Clean. What is an ass? Clean or unclean? Unclean. And God said, you are not to plow with an ox and an ass together. Don't you hear what he's saying? It says that we are not to labor with the unsaved. Do you not understand that? Now, it says this. You are not to sow your field with two different kinds of seeds. Now, the field in the parable in Matthew 13 is the world. But our field, that which belongs to us as Christians, is narrower. And it means that we are not to sow this assembly with wheat and with tares. But as much as we are able, we are to let it remain wheat. But we are to preach the gospel to every creature. That's why I read to you in 11:47 of Leviticus, that you may make a distinction between the clean and the unclean. And what God is telling us again and again and again is that there is not to be an unequal yoke of believers and unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what righteousness has light with darkness? What fellowship has Christ with Belial? You say, why? That's why he said not to plow with an ox and an ass. Why? Because an ox is a true child of God, and an ass is an unclean one. And you'll find that when they were building Jerusalem, you'll find that the unsaved came and said, look, let us throw in our lot with you and let us build that city with you. Absolutely not. And the unsaved and the heathen were infuriated by that. But it's the same today. And I've seen it. I have seen at gospel campaigns one who has certain dignitaries on the platform, and one is an unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Jew, and he's called on to pray and take part in the ceremony, and you have a born-again child of God also that is a creature of the truth of God, and they are side by side laboring together, both of them. You say, That should not be. Of course not. And so God says, listen to this. You are not to let your cattle gender with another kind. You'll find that that same thing happened in the book of Nehemiah. The children of God married the daughters of the heathen. They gendered with the daughters of the heathen, and it said that their children had a strange speech. And this was absolutely forbidden by God. And also, what God is telling us today, that young men of God and young women of God are to be alike. You do not go out and get one that is unsaved, a donkey, and have that one to marry an ox. And at the same time, you do not sow your fields with wheat and tares, and you do not bring forth children. You do not let your cattle gender with those of a different kind. You say, well, what God is doing is telling us in the Old Testament, in picture and in type, what he tells us so plainly in the New Testament, in words that we can understand. That is exactly right. And so for this reason, if when a sister served me supper the other night, I looked at the plate of meat, I said, is this a pork chop? And she said, no, it's chicken. Well, it would have made no difference to me. But to some people, it does. But it says, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. If you say, it says we can't eat pork in Leviticus 11. Well, that's true. And in Leviticus 11, there were other prohibitions as well. Right now, the shirt I have on is cotton and polyester. It's wrong. You see, I shouldn't be wearing that. You have two different kinds of materials knitted. You say, no, it doesn't need that. And at the same time, when you've gone out and gotten a seafood plate, did you ever get any shrimp on it? You say, yes, and oysters, yes. Well, it didn't have fins and scales, and so you were sinning when you did that. And I know one brother, he was from Scotland, and he understood the truth. And so when the sister was serving him a pork roast, and he was to give thanks, he said, Lord, he said, if you can bless under grace what you curse under law, bless this food about that we are about to partake of. Amen. Well, what God has told us is this, that every creature of God is good and nothing is to be reduced. And so if you try in the Old Testament to see why is it that he pronounced this clean and that unclean, I can understand when you have a vulture, a buzzard, and they go and eat this corrupting flesh, I can understand that. But there are other animals that perhaps might be as clean as those that God says are unclean. And so here is what I suggest when he gives us the distinction. God says they have to chew the cud and they have to have a parted hoof. Chewing the cud is something that happens on the inside. A true ruminant has four stomachs. There is the rumen, the reticulum, the omasum, and the abomasum. And the food that that ox eats goes through all four of those stomachs. And so it means to chew. It means to bring back again and chew and digest what you've taken in. That is meditation. And you have a parted hoof. That would be separation, a separate walk. And so if the hoof is something outward and the meditation is something inward, God says the clean animals have to be right on the inside and on the outside. You say, why not one? I'll give you the reason. Our Savior says in Matthew 7, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If he's saying, Lord, Lord, well, that's the right confession. He says, but he that doeth the will of my God who is in heaven. That is doing what God said. Not just confessing from the inside, but living from the outside. And there are some that confess, Lord, Lord, but the Savior says, I never knew you. And there are some who are taught like the Apostle Paul from a child. He said, righteousness according to the law, blameless. And so he had a divided hook, but he wasn't right on the inside. And so God says these animals have to chew the cud and they have to have a divided hook. And think also, you have to have, if you eat fish, fins and scales, you have a spiritual significance in that. You can't sow with two kinds of seed, wheat and tares. You say, well, what God is doing is to show us in picture what he tells us plainly in the New Testament. Just like the ox treading out the corn. And so now you understand. That is why God could say at a certain time, I have cleansed and made all these animals clean, and at the same time, the Gentiles and various nations that they represent, I have pronounced them clean as well. The Bible says, there is no distinction. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. And so there's no difference today between Jew and Gentile. And these are some of the teachings from Deuteronomy chapter 14. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you were able, beyond the grasp of the Israelites for so long, the things that pertain in the ordinances that they observed. And we are thankful that your Son came along and he explained, not that which goeth into a man, defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the man. Your Son knew. He understood. And then the Spirit guided into all truth. And now we understand from that sheet let down from heaven that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is rich in mercy toward all. We are thankful for what you taught Israel in the past. We are thankful that we can learn from that, literally, Father, and then typically, and let us understand that we are not under law, but under grace. So, our Father, guide us from the hints that you've given us yourself from the Word of God, the meaning of these things. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.